ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's one of Australia's most baffling unsolved missing persons cases. In 2007, three adults and a five-year-old girl vanished from Western Australia amid rumours of bizarre behaviour, cults and dark secrets.
Yep, because we're trying to track them down.
I'm Dominique Bayens, and I've been investigating for the new season of Expanse, The Nan Up 4.
I was starting to think this is not going to end well.
Subscribe to Expanse wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Anne Jones, and this is What the Duck, with something a little bit different for you this episode. It's a fight. A sci fight, which will surprisingly include no face glue or toxic spurs or Bunsen burners as weapons. It's really just a heap of nerds debating serious science topics in a silly way. So, what you're going to hear is a debate format. You know, the for, the against, the roundup comments, and What the Duck listeners hear me going on all the time about invasive species and native species and domestication and all of that sort of thing. But does nature care about where an animal comes from? Founder of the sci-fi science comedy debate, Alanta Colley is your MC for this event, which was recorded for ABC Radio National on a summer's evening in Naarm, Melbourne. So pull up a bar stool or your comfiest rock and play along at home.
Our topic tonight is nature doesn't care where an animal is from. Now, no one is prepared to look at a cane toad and admit that this is what peak performance looks like. Biologists often talk about the negative impacts of introduced plants and animals, but are they biased? If all life displaces life, if everything with a metabolism consumes energy, is there subjectivity in deciding when it's good or bad? Sure, camels love to erode a waterway, but God forbid a camel have hobbies. In the absence of evolution's moral compass, is it important for scientists around the world to step in and make sure every native creature, great and small, gets a leg up, no matter how many legs that might be? Come to the end of the debate, our trusty audience will be called on to decide who the winning team is, mainly by shouting, because science has proved time and again that the loudest person in the room is always the most correct. So I'm going to welcome our first speaker tonight. Aaron Agostini is a developmental biologist from New Jersey who cannot drive, but he totally could if he wanted to. He researches marsupial skull development at the Tiger Lab at University of Melbourne. He writes poetry, loves speaking both publicly and privately, and listing things in groups of three. Aaron Agostini.
Home for me is not here. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm originally from the US. Roaring applause. Thank you so much. I moved here about two-ish years ago to pursue a PhD. And I'm opening Pandora's box here, but I would say that I'm not invasive, or rather that nature cares that I am invasive. Invasiveness is a subjective label that we humans put on top of something. So humans care that this bug is invasive. Humans care that this germ could wipe out all the wheat. Monsters care that I pronounce both A's and Yara. Bugs don't care about any of this. Mammals don't care about any of this. 99.99% of the species that have ever existed on this planet are currently extinct. We're just afraid that the ecosystem's going to change too fast and leave us behind. So we slap the label of invasive on top of something to bring our own attention to it. Another critical distinction to examine is the term exotic. So in a biological context, exotic just refers to any species that's not native. So you're a tourist, you're a visitor, you're a really dashing, handsome American scientist. I offer these thoughts as a stepping stone to open up the conversation from my understanding of invasiveness, as well as to open myself up for being made fun of for being American. It's totally fine, I'm completely used to it, and it could be so much worse, right? I could be from Sydney. Another critical point to address. Mother Nature is a mother. Okay, it's in the name, Mother Nature. Mothers are kind. They are giving. They would never reject their children, and they would never be really weird about one of their children piercing their ears. My mother would never do that. But also, you know, mothers have favorites, whether they will admit it or not. For instance, my mother's favorite cycles between my brother, my other brother, and then like a third person who's not me. And so if Mother Nature really truly cared about invasive species, she would have done something about the cane toad. Instead, she's sitting on her bright blue ass, huffing ozone and staring directly at the sun. As she should. Also, if anything, we're invasive, right? Like, the bird didn't do anything. We put the bird where it was supposed to belong. The bird was just being a bird. We're the ones that made it fly Qantas. And so we have a duty to take care of our environment, but it comes from a place that we also have a duty of f***ing it up.
Our next speaker, Trish, is a fish ecologist at the University of Melbourne. She is a self-proclaimed fraud fisho who uses expensive sampling techniques to determine how fish respond to their environments. She's not averse to the occasional trophy photo. Make some noise for Trish Coe!
You guys are going to be convinced that nature does care where an animal is from. I'm going to start with a bit of local history, which everybody loves, especially when it's colonialist history. There was this guy named Edward Wilson, born in London during the Victorian era. I feel like he was like me in a way. We floated through jobs, we learnt French, tried to learn French. We started our own newspaper. I didn't do that, but he did. He blew his money on it. He blew his parents' money in it. His parents weren't happy, which I also feel that. My parents are not happy with my career choices either. They wanted me and him to go into commerce, but Eddie didn't do that. So when he failed in England, he decided he was going to move somewhere else, somewhere where we all think is a beautiful utopia. He moved to Brunswick. Now, in Australia, our mate Eddie, he was really happy with things. He was happy with his newspaper. He had some money now, so things were going well for him. But he also really hated it here. He really, really wanted to go back home. I don't know why he didn't go back to where he came from. And during his retirement, he had a lot of free time. And he decided what he was going to do was he was going to create a new society. So he created the Climatisation Society of Victoria. And this was like a whole wave of movement throughout the world. They wanted to bring introduced species from other places in the world and bring them to Australia. And there's lots of really good reasons for that. We like to eat, don't we? We do. We do like to eat. We like to eat cows. We like to eat chicken. And those are all introduced species. Some people also like companion animals, and a lot of those are introduced species. Guinea pigs do not come from Australia. There's also sport. So a lot of the invasive introduced species that we know today are rabbits and foxes were all introduced into Australia as a sport animal. And unfortunately, they've come rampant and they're awful. But anyway, there are good reasons that we have introduced species. Knowing that, Eddie had this really well thought out criterion. What did he want to bring to his beautiful utopia of England in Australia? He had his own motto, and all these species were chosen on this motto. If it lives, we will take it. They just kept dying. And there's a whole list of things that kept dying. We didn't really do very good documentation because unfortunately people were afraid of failure and admitting to failure. So we don't know all of them, but we do know some of them. And a lot of them are bird species. So we have examples of Himalayan fowl, Canada goose. I don't know if you know anything about those two places, but they're generally quite cold. No one's ever been like, more geese, yes, yes, bring more geese in. We love geese. No geese. Luckily, those died out. Well, what about the flip side? What if we bought animals from Australia and moved them elsewhere? The Climatisation Society tried that. They tried, I wish I was joking. I'm talking wombats in Paris. I'm talking echidnas in London. I'm talking wallabies in the Czech Republic. Do you see those when you go there now? I don't think so. Migration is hard. Anyone who's done a visa knows it's quite difficult sometimes. It's mind-boggling. And if your brain is only really adapted to, like, I eat eucalyptus, I go to sleep, Chile is going to break you. I could go on about the scientific reasons why. There's things like propagule pressure, which is basically you haven't tried hard enough to introduce something. There's stuff like biotic resistance, which is basically our fancy word for, oh, I put something here and it just keeps getting eaten by the other stuff that was already here. I don't think the koalas are going to buck the trend, even if we try really hard. Just, they won't.
Kish the fish cow!
A few ridiculous things have been said this evening, but I enjoy that the only time that the audience has gone, oh, was when Trish said, nobody likes geese. It's good to know what's controversial to specific audiences. Rose Bishop is a stand-up comedian and playwright who's just finished a sold-out run of her play Ghostware with Kat Finch. She's won no awards for comedy, but has won 6 Mikey fines for tram crime. So welcome to the stage, Rose Bishop.
Hey. And Rose, look, I don't know much about science, but because I grew up in the bush, if there's one thing I do know about, it's animals. Oh, boy. Like, I grew up on a bush block in the kind of animal-loving household where I would sometimes get found as a kid sleeping on the floor of my bedroom because our cat and our kangaroo had a fight about who got to sleep in the bed with me, and somehow I lost the fight. But I'd argue that in that jumble of species out there, me and my human family, we're actually, technically, according to me, the only real pests. Not because we were the only animals that weren't in our natural habitat, but because we were the only ones that did it on purpose, with the intent and full knowledge of what we were doing and who we were pushing out. And when I stood there as a little girl and watched those kookaburras kill my galah, I was watching a galah whose bird ancestors only ended up in that region because of logging and the spread of agriculture, getting torn to bits by kookaburras that ended up in that region because in around 1900, the Perth Zoo decided to let a bunch of kookaburras out of the zoo because they liked the way they sounded in trees. So calling a non-human animal or plant a pest or an invasive species, I think is to use a loaded term that kind of obfuscates the origin of the problem and puts the blame in the wrong place. Because if you trace a modern pest or invasive species back to the original point of invasion, you'll pretty much always find human action at play, whether indirectly through things like land clearing and farming or climate change, or directly like the rabbits and the foxes that the British brought over to hunt for sport, as Trish said, and that are now filling up our golf courses and going through our bins. But despite how many times I had to console my mum because foxes had come in and eaten her precious chooks, I don't blame foxes or kookaburras because I don't think they were pests. They were just doing what they had to do to survive in a new environment. Because what we call pests are just species that were too good at being in a new place and popped off. But we're usually why they're in the new place in the first place. And we can't get all linguistically uppity about a species rapidly changing the environment when we rapidly changed the environment in the first place and caused the problem. So nature doesn't care where an animal is from because nature doesn't care. Caring is a human action that requires consciousness and consideration. Nature just survives or it doesn't, however disruptive or unsettling the outcome may be.
That was comedian Rose Bishop with more personal experience than you might expect of a species invading her personal space. On ABC Radio National, for What the Duck, I'm Dr. Anne Jones, and this is a live recording of Sci-Fight, science meets comedy meets debating. The topic is, nature doesn't care where an animal is from. And next up, it's Speaker 2 for the negative. And yes, that is a double negative if that helps. It's comedian Rowan Thambar.
If nature doesn't care where animals are from, why did just last week, an older white lady in my apartment building with a haircut that makes you think she knows her way around a Google review... ask me where I'm from. And when I said the 6th floor, she was disappointed. She asked again, and before I could answer, the elevator lurched, and I audibly shouted, God no, please not like this. But the idea of dying as a brown Sri Lankan comedian while someone is asking you where you're really from... that's awful. Like, that's kind of like if Jerry Seinfeld died because he choked on some aeroplane food, you know? Like, it's a hack way to die, is what I'm trying to say. I'd like to explore me and my introduction into Australia as a child of immigrants. So here's the thing. I reckon ecosystems are local contracts. They're not open invitations. Every ecosystem is a network of constantly negotiated relationships between predators, prey, plants, parasites, and climate. That's what ChatGPT said. But I've been in this ecosystem long enough to realise that when you introduce a species into the ecosystem, it doesn't rebalance over time. Every 20 years, apparently, just we have to renegotiate a contract and decide if they want to renew. You know, I thought maybe the solution then would to actually go back to where I came from. So, like, last year, I went with my parents back to Sri Lanka for the first time in 40 years. It was the first time they'd ever been back. We had a really great time, like a really special time. We went and saw, like, where my parents grew up, and we went to this, like, house that my dad, he grew up in, and it was really special because the house had been burnt down during the Civil War. It had been rebuilt, and that was the reason why he and my family had fled to Australia. Saw it from the street, and I was like, oh, wow, this is incredible. I guess we'll go now. But he was like, no, I'll knock on the door. So we knocked on the door, and he was like, can we come in? We used to live here. And they were like, yeah, come on in. And they gave us food, and it was, like, so nice. As we were sitting there, I kind of had this, like, beautiful cultural moment. This moment that I've always wanted my whole life, which is like, wow, this is where I'm from. This is the place that I belong. These walls are where my ancestors walk. This is really special. And as I was having that moment, my dad leant over and whispered to me, I think we're at the wrong house. We just sat there, intruders, on this random house. As we were eating the food that they'd given us, the guy was like, so where are you guys from? And I was like, oh, we're from here. And he said, no, where are you really from? Nature absolutely cares where an animal is from. Thank you very much.
From Bamba. Are you ready for closing arguments from the affirmative? Are you ready? Now, Lukian is a fish enthusiast and qualified fish surgeon, but elects to use his powers exclusively for evil. Make some noise for Lukian Adams.
I want everyone to close your eyes and imagine, okay? I've just come into your house, right? I've put you in a big box. Giant cannon comes in the room. Box in the cannon, I light the fuse. You're gone. The box, it's gone. Right? Not where it was, because of the cannon. And you've landed in a house. You went from one house, there was a cannon, now you're in a different house. There's someone in the house, they come. What's the first thing they go? Like, who the f*** are you? Where did you come from? People care where you're from. Now, scenario two, okay? I've come into the house. There's a big box. You know the drill. In the box. Now I reinforce it with tape. You're not getting out of this one, right? That box lands in a forest. No one cares, right? Who cares? Does the forest care? No. The box is wood. That's where wood comes from, forest. Nature doesn't care where you're from, right? People do. But then this whole, like, koalas on planes and in Europe thing, that sounds cool as hell. That sounds awesome. Was the point that that's bad? That's cool. Imagine you're on a plane and you're in the middle seat and you go, oh, no, I'm on the middle seat. And then there's a koala in each seat next to you and they sleep the whole flight. There's no crying. There's no babies. They're just asleep. You can get out to use the bathroom, you can look out the window. And have you been to Europe? It's boring, right? There's just like buildings and people and stuff, but there's no koalas, not a single one. I've been thinking about carp. Let's get philosophical, guys. Let's do it together. Carp are this invasive species, right? And they've got these big rubbery mouths and they go around and they go blah, 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 blah. And we hate them because they eat all the native fish. But the native fish are big and they're scary, right? And they eat stuff. Carp just hang out. Let's think utilitarian. What about native fish do? They eat other fish. We heard that from Trish. We heard it from the other team. Fish go out and they eat other fish, not carp. They hang out, they eat mud, They're not hurting anyone. What if we had just carp? Nothing's getting eaten. Everything's in harmony. Everyone's hanging out. Thank you.
Still thinking about carp. Our final speaker for the night is Adam McKenzie, who is a multi-award winning writer, actor and comedian. He's performed around the world for 17 years with the comedy trio Watson, including 2 Golden Gibbon nominations and winner of Best Comedy at Melbourne Fringe Festival. Would you make some noise for Adam McKenzie?
Hey, so I'm the third speaker, so I've got to do some rebuttal. I feel like the positive team are saying the quiet bit out loud, that nature does care where animals come from. It's humans that are the problem. Nature does care where animals come from. Lucian, what are you a surgeon in?
Fish.
Fish! Fish! Do you know where fish can live? In the water. Yeah. Thank you. I think it's clear that throughout this debate, my team has clearly demonstrated that nature obviously cares where animals come from. If the opposition doesn't care where animals come from, they won't mind that before the debate, I put a very dangerous Sydney funnel web spider on their side of the stage. Nature cares where an animal is from. Why do you think that nature carefully and painstakingly placed every creature exactly where it wanted to be? Birds, you go in the sky. Great, good job, birds. You're nailing it. Fish, we've already covered fish. If there's water, fish goes inside it. Who's next? Polar bears. G'day, what's your name?
Alec.
Alec, where do you think we should put polar bears?
Somewhere cold.
Somewhere cold, thank you very much. It's not hard. It's not hard, humans. You put polar bears in the cold. Do you know what you call polar bears that are not in the Arctic? Bears. I feel like nature, put it in the name. Nature is trying to help you. Do you know who doesn't care where animals come from? Humans. And I feel like the positive team has been making this point all night. Case in point, there are polar bears right now in SeaWorld on the Gold Coast going, what the f*** are we doing here? The only people that should live in the Gold Coast, you all finish that joke in your heads and shame on you. Super judgy. My point is, nature spent the better part of a billion years getting everything ready, carefully putting together everything in its natural habitats. And what is the first thing that we assholes do when we move in? We start moving the furniture. Nature is methodical, patient. Us humans, we treat the earth like it's our own personal jazz club. We just make this shit up as we go along. Look, nature cares where animals come from for one simple reason. Balance. The laws of entropy would suggest that everything moves from balance to chaos. And that is true for a time, but something truly amazing happens when you let that process play out. The chaos starts to settle. The forces of push and pull, eaten or be eaten, life and death, start to ease into patterns and systems. Whole ecosystems where the evolution of life allows for some respite from the maelstrom of chaos from where it was born. Peace. Paradise. And in that paradise, humans come in. And they say, you know what would look great in this sunshine-filled Golden Coast? A couple of f***ing polar bears. Thanks, I've been Adam. Cheers.
So we're over to you, our very human audience, to decide which was the superior team tonight. If you think the affirmative for the superior team tonight, would you please make some noise? Superior team, make some noise! I award tonight's debate to the affirmative! Carp for the real winner tonight. Would you give me a round of applause for all of our fantastic debaters tonight?
So, no. Apparently, nature does not care where animals come from. Alanta Colley is host and founder of SciFight Science Comedy Debate in Melbourne. And you also heard from Aaron Agostini, Trish Coe, Rose Bishop, Rowan Thambar, and Lukian Adams, and Adam McKenzie. Thanks to Richard Gervin and Luke Woollett at Howler for recording this SciFight. It was recorded and produced on the lands of the Kulin Nation for ABC Radio National. I'm Dr. Ann Jones, and if you've got a nature question or you want to tell me about your funny nature-based event, you can email whattheduck@abc.net.au.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.